This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend to be the managing partner of your life, and here to manage me
every time.
To manage me every day, it's Carrie Kasem. What's up with that?
Here I am. Because usually it's, you know, you give me a little bit of a, I don't know, you lift me up or you put me down. So that was just a normal intro. This is just so normal. I've never heard something so normal from you.
I'm just not in the mood to lift you up.
I look like I rolled out of bed, or what? I look fantastic.
You just look average today. You don't look fantastic. Thanks, you don't look terrible.
It was just an average intro, okay. So therefore the...
But it is an important weekend, being Memorial Day weekend.
It is.
Being Canadian, I don't really care, but for Americans, apparently it's important because we think of those who have passed on, we remember, and we honor them. And that's really near and dear to my heart, thinking of those who have been special in our lives and who are no longer with us. And
yes.
I think that you, of course, you talk about your father, Casey Kasem, all the time.
I do.
And how much you miss him and how important he was in your life. And I learn a lot about love between a father and a daughter. And today with our guest, we have the same situation with two parents who have passed on, and it's such a special relationship. One, she didn't have as much time with him, unfortunately, her father, and the other, she had a lot of time and had a very, very special relationship. And she is just, she wants to say something so badly, and it's Melissa Rivers. Tell us.
Oh my God, I think you're the meanest Canadian I have ever sat across from.
Yes, yes.
We're like, I don't care. I'm Canadian. Oh my God, Canadians are usually so nice.
Not him.
I've lived here
Not
for
him.
So long, Melissa, that I am no longer much of a nice Canadian.
Oh my God.
You should see him on Oprah Winfrey. This thing went viral, and he was hated by the nation for a while. But I have to say.
She doesn't need to see that.
Okay, fine.
Oh, I'm going to have to go home.
She can Google it afterwards. She'll never speak to me again.
Like, yeah. Holy, yeah. I can't curse on this, can I?
No, really.
You can.
Bleep
it
out. Would have to bleep it out and then
like,
he'd be mad.
Oh my God. I'm like, that was like such an non-Canadian thing to say.
Well, let me be nice, Melissa. So let's talk
about
you.
I want to talk about personal injury. This should be like a big weekend for you.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
You should be like hanging out like either by like one of the jails or one of the emergency.
I don't do personal injury.
One of the emergency rooms. Are you looking for ambulances?
We do work injuries, which are not necessarily personal injuries, but let's talk about you.
But there's a lot of games and such. And,
there are.
And vendors could get hurt.
They could get hurt.
True.
Very
this
much.
Is potentially a money-making weekend.
So, a New York Times best-selling author, an award-winning producer, an entertainment journalist, of course. You'd be surprised by the way she goes after me. A correspondent, an equestrian. That's very important
back
from the past.
Hold on, that's way important because when I first met you. We were at the equestrian stables. I was like, couldn't wait to get on air and tell you this. But I am telling you, and for everybody else, and you grew up on TV, but you are more beautiful now when I knew you as a kid at the equestrian center when I was
So what are you trying to say? She was ugly
you,
as a kid?
No, she has just grown into being beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, especially on a day where I'm not feeling my lovely.
You look gorgeous.
Oh,
I'm just, I was going to tell you this. You walked in the room
spackle.
And I'm like, you haven't aged. You look amazing.
I
no.
give you the phone number.
Do you want me to just
I have all my guys. I put everything in my face.
She's told
I talk
me a
about
million
everything.
Times that I
put
need
everything
work.
In my face and do everything.
Well, because we were just saying, you know, I had a bit of a traumatic experience last weekend.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Which you're avoiding yours.
I'm not, but if you want to talk, I'm still going to give you accolades, but go ahead. Let's hear about trauma because, you know, your voice sounds great. I love hearing it, but I know
Thank
a couple
you.
Days ago you didn't have one.
I had absolutely no voice. I had my 30th college reunion, which you shared with me. You've got yours.
Brown University.
And mine was
yours
10.
Was 10. So we were rivals.
No, we were better. You also existed.
I thought you were going to say you were brown like.
No. You know, it's Alan's a whole Ivy League. But don't worry, because we all hate Duke.
Okay.
We all hate Duke because everyone who went to Duke said either like Penn or one of these schools was their safety
school.
They
were Ivy League wannabes.
They were. And we all said, no, Duke was our safety school.
So tell us about your experience at your reunion.
It was wonderful. It was amazing. It was fantastic to see all my friends, and is the most horribly neurotic, insecure moment, I think, more for women than men, because all you do, I mean, generally we all are very self-conscious and are busy thinking what everybody's thinking about us and judging each other and this and the other, when really everyone's being neurotic about themselves, but all you do is compare yourself to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, oh my God, she looks great. Oh my God, she's thin. Oh my God, she's so much better as a blonde. Like, whatever it is. And that's all you do. Okay, that's all I did. All weekend, whenever I would see anybody, and I had a great time and talked, but I kept saying, oh, she looks really good. Or, wow.
You know, you guys have it hard, Melissa Carey, because women generally look better as they age. Men look like hell.
What are you talking about? Where are you living, Alan Garvey?
Last week we did a show on baldness. You got these bald guys who are overweight.
No. Men age like fine wine.
They also have it so much easier.
Yes, and they look
sexy. Every girl, every woman looks at you and goes, hi, so good to see you. The quick up and down.
Yep.
And by the way, everyone does it without realizing it.
Do they look at your name tag like, who is she?
Kind of, but not really. You know, there was I'm very blessed that I have a very large group of friends still from college.
Right.
And this is the first reunion I've gone to. I didn't go to any other ones. So there was a whole side betting pool, like an over under. Literally apparently on Friday morning when I went with some of my friends to the airport, it was still a 50-50 that I was actually going to get on the airplane.
Really?
And then my friend Beth and I almost got on the wrong flight, but that's a whole separate story.
Did somebody win money here?
There was a whole side group text that I was not privy to that had confirmation or denial that I was on the plane. So when I got there, everyone was like, you know, it was 50-50 till you were wheels up. I'm like, great. So.
Well, you made it.
I did make it. I had a great time. I screamed and yelled till I lost my voice. It had been many, many years since I went home drenched in sweat, water, and beer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But dancing and having fun.
Yeah, you had to,
like,
couldn't put your clothes back in your suitcase till the next morning because they were just disgusting.
Yeah. So were there any, like, hot guys that you thought had aged well?
Well, I was just going to ask
no,
that.
There's
I'm
a lot
surprised
of guys,
you did.
There's a lot of guys that aged well.
Really?
Not
at my reunion.
There are a lot of guys that actually aged really well. I was pleasantly surprised. A friend of mine who is divorced, and it's just a friend.
For now?
No. Just been a friend for we met freshman year, so 34 years. I was laughing. I said, well, you made quite an impression. He goes, what do you mean? I go, the words handsome, divorced, and full head of hair were being thrown about liberally. So that made his weekend.
Very nice.
Was he fishing? Any catches?
If he was fishing, I'm not sure he remembers fishing.
No.
It was a real busy. It were long days and long nights.
So Melissa.
But he kept saying, he's like, really? Handsome, divorced, and full head of hair? I'm like, and then he kept saying, who said that? I'm like, all the mean girls from college.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's feeling real big about himself. I'm happy I shared that.
So as an attorney, nice. I have an ability to focus back in where I want you to go.
Sorry.
As my witness here today.
By the way, and I have the innate ability to take interviews wherever I want them to go.
I'm going to put you on the stand and cross-examine you, and you will see how far you get. If it would please the court, so since college, you have done so much. And
which either means I'm diverse or can't hold down one job.
Well, you've done a lot of interesting things and some really great work, philanthropy, red carpet fashion expert. That's something I was a little nervous coming in because I don't know, you know, what you're going to say.
Well, I can't really. I can only see you from like the shoulder blades up from
I'm not
the
wearing any pants. Actually,
that would be a mistake.
A very bad mistake.
That would be a mistake just in general. I like the shirt jacket combo.
Oh, you do?
Because you've got a little pattern in the jacket and a pattern in the shirt.
Mm-hmm. You like that.
Now, that either means you are feeling bold and dressed yourself, or your wife put it together for you and said, honey, this works?
I dressed myself.
You did?
What am I wearing?
Well, you're wearing a blazer and a button down.
Oh, come on. After all these years on the red carpet, someone says, what am I wearing? And you say a blazer and a button down?
That's what you're wearing.
Who am I wearing?
Well, I don't... Wait, first of all, okay, it's a suit. You have monk strap shoes.
But who is it?
I'm going to go Xenia.
It could, yeah.
It could be Xenia.
It could be. Could be Hugo Boss.
Ted Baker.
My gosh.
Wow. That's, I was completely wrong on that.
That's my boyfriend's line. That's all he wears.
I'm
Penguin
impressed.
And Ted Baker.
I'm impressed.
Well,
I was going to say Xenia because of the shoulders, because I didn't realize Ted Baker was going a little wider in the shoulders.
That's thanks to my personal trainer, the shoulders.
Because usually Xenia goes a little wider in the shoulders. Didn't know Ted Baker, he usually cuts much
smaller. For European.
Yes.
Yeah.
So getting back to my focus, as you have succeeded to divert the attention, with all of this stuff that you've done and you've written... 2 New York Times best-selling books, and you've done so much good work and the QVC continuing on with your mom's name and collection. We sit here now, you talk about your reunion, but you haven't said what you're most proud of.
My son. I am proud that...
I led you down that path.
Yes, you did, and I like to say I am proud. I am just blessed that he is only one quarter genetically...
It's half, I think.
Well, no, because I'm a half from my mom and my dad.
Oh, okay.
So he only really got a quarter of the crazy in the best possible way.
We're going to talk about height and body build.
No, in the best possible way. You know, I'm very lucky. We always joke that my mom used to make the joke too, that my son got all recessive genes. So he's tall, blonde, blue eyed.
But you said that your father would really love him and be
God.
So proud of him.
So proud of him.
Why?
He's smart. He's funny. He's grounded. He's got tremendous empathy. Even as a teenager, where it's very deeply hidden, I know it's still there because it was there, but teenagers are just vile, subhuman creatures. Do you have a teenager?
I have a 5 and 6 year old.
They still
fear,
like you.
What you just said to me, I am now in fear of letting them age.
No, you're good until 11. Then it really,
and then they go downhill.
Well, no, and then it starts. It's kind of, you know, you get a little more.
But how did you survive it?
Because I have a good one, and I'm lucky, and I'm a single parent. And everyone always laughs at me, but it's true. My son has a healthy amount of fear of me.
You know what? I agree with that. With my father, that's how I was.
Yes.
And that's why I have my ethics. That's why I have my work ethic. That's why. Yeah.
Cooper has friends that they do stuff and they're just like, oh, well, you know, where Cooper still goes, oh, shit, my mom is going to kill me.
Yeah.
And that is an actual healthy reaction.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were all raised with that. And now you're not allowed to do anything. But like, they should never feel the way. Oh, hell no. If you do something bad, you should know you've been.
Absolutely.
And if you get caught, you should know you've been caught.
But that's my goal. If my kid can be like that, I'm going
to
be thrilled.
But yet we can talk about everything. I let him come to me. I don't push him for it, but eventually always does come to me with stuff.
My niece, I have to say, she is 14, Bella. She's never had any of those traits of like turning or like, don't look at me or don't come in my room or none of that. And
you know,
it's amazing.
To everyone.
I
love Bella. Bella was on the show.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. She's
sweet.
So sweet. It's like,
well, you realize that she's probably going to be a serial killer.
Oh my God. My sister's listening. She's like, no.
So we got to take a break. Very nice, Melissa. You're calling me the mean Canadian.
So sweet. She's like the sweetest kid ever.
That's not normal.
No, it's not. It's not. She's one of the best kids I've ever met.
I know that, Melissa, you're fearful of being an empty nester when he leaves for college, and we have to take a break, but we need to have a cliffhanger here. So for the first time on radio, we are going to announce where Cooper will be headed to college right after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Waiting for your luck to change? It already has, because you're listening to Gervie's Law every Saturday on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Did they really just say that?
They did.
Who the heck is saying that? Man, every Saturday? That was 5 years ago.
No, that was a few months ago.
It was more than a few months.
No,
it's
I don't
Sunday.
Think so. It's Sunday.
So for those of you who've had a little too much to drink this weekend, you think it's Saturday because you're listening to the KBC talker. Doesn't know what he's talking about. But we are talking to someone who does know what she's talking about.
Sometimes.
It's Melissa Rivers. And before the break, we left you with a little bit of a tease, a cliffhanger.
People are waiting in their cars to hear.
I know. They're not getting it. They're telling the valet.
Just hold on one more second.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, you have your mother's sense of humor.
Yeah, and my father. Actually, my sense of humor is much closer to my father's than my mother's.
Really? Was that a British sense of humor?
Just very dry.
Dry.
And
absolutely.
A little, but both of them actually in real life had very dark senses of humor. And my mother's sense of humor in real life was very silly, borderline sophomoric. Yeah. Like she loved practical jokes. She loved doing like the sillier, the better.
Yeah. I fell in love with your mom after I saw the documentary that she did. And I just, everything that she did and how hard she had to work to get where she was and all the tragedy in her life. She's an amazing woman.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
And you also have had tragedy in your life.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about your college reunion. And I know.
Was tragic. I think that's going to be one of those photos coming back we're going to call tragic. And I have a lot of friends now who are like in very like important and powerful positions. And there was like lots of texts going around on Monday saying, please do not put anything online that might be embarrassing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, we won't do it. But, you know, getting serious for a moment, when you were a sophomore in college.
Right after my sophomore year.
Your father committed suicide.
Yes.
And you've been very open about it. In fact, you've done some wonderful work to bring exposure to people who potentially will commit suicide.
Well, and what we call suicide survivors, which are people who have survived losing a loved one to suicide. And I'm on the board of D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Foundation and Suicide Prevention Center. And it's a very exciting couple months for us because we moved into a new building. And for anyone driving down Olympic Boulevard right by Century City, you'll see we are the first building in California, and we're verifying if in the country, to actually have the word suicide prevention outside on the building.
Wow.
And D.D. Hirsch, now that you brought it up, nonprofit providing free mental health, substance abuse and suicide prevention services.
And a huge crisis hotline. You know, so much of the work that D.D. Hirsch does is for suicide and suicide prevention. And they provide counseling for people who have had suicide attempts, people who have lost people to suicide. We run a massive crisis hotline. They're part of the national network. And it's really, you know, so much of the focus of what we do there.
And what you have said is that the worst thing that we can do is ignore it or not talk about it.
Exactly. And one of our big dinner every year is called Erasing the Stigma. And I think probably the last 5 years, mental health has become such sort of a hot topic.
Yeah.
And it's become sort of part of everyday discussion. It's become very much sort of out in the, I don't think people necessarily are comfortable yet saying, oh, I have mental health issues. But certainly you just need to watch TV and see how many commercials there are for antidepressants and this and that and all these different medications. And it's sort of become much more part of the public zeitgeist that we talk about it. Suicide, I feel like, is still about 5 years behind that. There's still a stigma with suicide. There's still a shame involved. And I find that there's a lot of shame for people who attempt and thankfully do not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's still behind the discussion of mental health. So it's something that I feel very passionate about and about speaking about, because my mother and I started speaking publicly about it when nobody was. We were part of a group called Suicide Survivors. And within 2 years, we were speaking openly about suicide.
So on this Memorial Day weekend, tell us about your father. And what kind of guy was he?
My dad was a great guy. He was hilariously funny, incredibly bright, an amazing parent. You know, I can't say enough. He had his flaws, just like anybody. One of the things with people who lose someone to suicide is you tend to deify them and not see them as necessarily the person that they were.
Which is a huge mistake.
But by the way, and everyone who loses someone goes through that for the first bit of time is you automatically deify the person. And then as you get past it and you process, you realize that your things you didn't like, let's say, about your parent, you still didn't like that about them. Just because they're gone doesn't mean like, oh, it really was a good that they did that. No, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't like getting grounded, you know? No, that sucked. It still sucked. But I loved my dad. And I think a lot of, I think it used to make my mom a little crazy right after my dad died because I was so much like my father. But I think that's also after a 25 year marriage, probably what made my relationship with my mother so, I don't want to say stable because we definitely at moments had volatility, but so secure, you know, and there were times where she would say, you're making me crazy because you're just like your father. We're like, well, I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do about that. But I think, again, if you're exactly like someone, you get into more trouble. I've become much more like my mother since she passed.
Are you honoring your father by doing all this wonderful work with Dee Dee Hirsch Memorial? I mean, mental health services?
Absolutely. I was talking to someone the other day about it, and it's so funny that something that was probably one of the most horrible things that happened in my life and something that made me so angry for so long has become something so positive.
Yeah. I have to say that that's so true. I've become, and people have said this to me, and it wasn't because I tried. It's just happened. But people say, you're so much like your dad now. You're so much like your dad.
But are they saying that in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, and for me, it's a very good way.
And
for
me, not so much.
For you, not so much.
Not so
okay.
Much.
So, yeah, I've
well,
kind of become the fighter
been,
he was.
Who's been with our family for 30 something years.
Really?
She looks
people,
like she's in her 30s.
Well, Sabrina started as like the assistant's assistant at like 19 years old working in my parents' office.
Wow.
And people would recognize her from the reality show. And the scary thing is, after my mother passed, we both looked at each other and went, oh my God, we're taking on all of her worst traits.
Oh no.
We both lost our tolerance for people. Because we would always have
no
to.
No comment.
Yeah. Because we were always, because my mother was like, ah! And we were, yeah. So we were like, no, we're going to be the top. We're going to take care of this. And now Sabrina and I are like, ah! Well, we've both managed to take on something.
You end up growing up really quickly if you aren't grown up.
Right. Well, I definitely grew up quickly after my father passed, especially because my mother and I had such a public estrangement afterwards.
Yeah.
So,
and
I,
you were angry with your mother.
Oof, and suicide.
Did you blame her for his
when
suicide?
When someone kills themselves, you blame everybody but the person who did it, who really is the one that made the choice.
Yeah. But do you think he had the ability to make the choice?
I don't think he had the ability to make the choices, and I do not think he was in his right mind. But that doesn't mean it's someone else's fault.
Yeah.
You know, and I know there was that big case where this girl, they felt that she, they found her guilty for like bullying this boyfriend into,
right, into.
And that to me, it was such a, is such a slippery slope.
But that, in that case, which is very interesting, Dr. Peter Bregan, the psychiatrist,
yes,
said, look, she's on all this medication. She can't even think. She's
right
on so many psych meds that she has no ability to reason.
But my bigger problem with trying to blame her was it really comes back to a much deeper thing about insecurity and bullying and
right
this and the power of the internet and the power
right
of all these things. Do I feel like this girl, in my layman's opinion, pushed someone to feeling worse about themselves? Yes. Did she push them to a place where they felt useless and unloved and no one and weak? Yes. Could that trigger that behavior in someone? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no one makes anyone actually kill themselves,
I
except
agree
for the person.
I agree with you.
No one can pull the trigger. No one can swallow the pills. No one can do any of the things but the person themselves.
Right. If someone pulls the trigger, it's called murder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can despise what that girl did, whether she was in her right mind or not. And what she did was horrible. But the bottom line is he made the final decision, even though,
right,
she, you know, I mean, it's one of those things like, oh, it's so sloppy and gray, you know?
Yeah. But you've talked about life after suicide, specifically with Dr. Jennifer Ashton, who's the ABC
yes
News chief medical correspondent.
Talk about a story.
Yeah.
I mean, you always look at your own story and other people's story, like with a, like, I can't ever get my head around how these parents who have
yeah
children who commit suicide survive. Like, it's such an irrational act that leaves everyone behind in shambles. What's always interesting to me is, and Dr. Ashton and I talked about this, is the person who's committing the act really feels that they're doing a favor, that they're doing the right thing, that they're taking away the stress from everybody, and all they're doing is shattering everyone who's
sure
left behind them. And I think that is one thing that people who are in the throes of depression or in those sort of mindsets forget, is you're destroying everyone who loves you.
But sometimes that just isn't top of mind for the people.
It isn't, and that's one of the things why I'm so vocal about suicide, is you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You
yeah
have to talk
it's
about
so
it.
It's so important, and we really, really respect that work that you're doing,
yeah,
and hopefully
Dr. Ashton is, you know, out doing a whole bunch of, you know, mental health awareness stuff. Her book is amazing, and she's got a personal story
yeah
that you don't wish upon anybody.
And I think that's something that people should go and look
her new
for
book
her book, because it's real interesting, and you feel better about yourself when seeing what she's been through.
Everyone always, there's an old saying, which is, if everybody put their problems on a table and got to pick which ones they would take, everyone would take their own problems back.
Sure.
Yeah, that's good. You know, We have to take a break, and I like to have a teaser or a cliffhanger.
Well, we never answered where Cooper was going to college.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I think this time around, we're going to say...
But we have to say that.
When you come back, you will hear where Cooper is going to college.
Yeah. The deep tea.
That's twice now, and we're here into teasing you. We're hoping you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. I'm Alan Gervey. She's Carrie Case, and we're talking to Melissa Rivers. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervey's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
There's girls like you run around with guys like me to sundown when I come through, I need to...
Yeah, we are back. I got to tell you, I'm exhausted. I just sat here listening during the break to Melissa Rivers and Carrie Kasem talking about just about every subject in the world. It's really incredible. They both, you know, share, unfortunately, you know, sad situations, this being Memorial Day, Carrie losing her father under very strange circumstances. She has a lot to say about that. And then, of course, Melissa, we can say, lost her mother way too soon.
Well, and under really negligent.
Crappy. Yes.
Yes.
Negligent.
And congratulations.
Yes, we can use the word negligence.
You can. This is a legal show, and yeah. I appreciate you bringing some of the law into it because, you know, when we talk about fashion, we talk about
Well, I want to ask about parking tickets, something I learned in Legal Studies 101.
Well, before we get to parking tickets, I think people want to hear more about what you just said, which were the crappy circumstances. And first of all, congratulations. I don't know if it's congratulations, but as an attorney, I'm happy to see that the case resolved,
yes,
that you can move on. You filed in 2015, and I think it was a favorable result. At least you,
yes,
felt some vindication for what occurred to your mother. You'll never get your mother back, but you, yeah, did it in her name, just as Carrie has, right, done
it
her work in
so
her father's
much-
name.
Vindication. It was, I don't think you'll ever feel vindicated.
Pissed off?
I don't think you'll ever
feel.
A bit
of justice?
Not even, I mean, well, you know, could we talk about Game of Thrones? I understood burning down a city. Let's just say I just called it a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what was the problem? They had to murder her because she had someone, like, she was angry and murdered a couple million people? Whatever. Clearly, it was before coffee. little Game of Thrones humor. I don't know if I felt vindication or what I felt, but I felt like if I can't make you pay legally and have your license, or I could have made them pay legally, but it would have been an uphill battle to get their licenses taken away, I at least... Yeah. Caused them some pain.
And the medical director resigned?
I don't even remember. I don't care what happened to him. No. You know, sometimes it's best as being in it. Should I hand you a dollar and return you and retain you so you can tell me to shut up on this?
No, I think it's important because the pain that it has caused not only you, but, yeah, everyone who loved your mom,
well, not just
should
that,
never have happened.
No, but the most important thing that came out of it was, you know, those outpatient clinics really having to be much more aware of protocols and what kind of equipment needs to be there and how different things would be handled. And I think it made the public much more aware. There's still talk about creating some sort of a legislation about it. It just hasn't happened yet. I mean, I think everything happens so fast, and I know the ball is in my court to do that,
yeah,
to push it forward. But,
right,
you know, at one point you also have to say, my son was 13 and I had to take care of him and I had to get myself back together, and you don't want to live your life.
No. No, you're right.
Consumed by grief and anger.
Right.
But it was a favorable result, and it was something that when I had to make the decision whether to accept a settlement or go to court, it was time to just be done.
And I take my hats off to you.
Because you do.
Hat.
But you have to make a sense.
My clients don't understand it. They want to go after people. They're angry. And they don't realize what it's doing to them.
Right.
I mean, you talk about Cooper, 13 years old, 14, 15.
Right.
And by the way, I hear he's going to college.
He is going to go to college.
And we'll talk about that soon. but
yeah, at one point, you have to say, it's not whatever it is. It's not worth it.
You know,
I just want to be done.
Your friends, your son, your family will thank you for that.
Well,
because you made the stance, as Carrie has done, and,
yeah,
I've been so proud of her. She's done this, but, you know, at some point, it has to resolve one way or another.
One way or another.
And that's what I'm hoping for here soon, but it just keeps getting pushed because the other side won't do anything except delay. So you have to sit in it. It's like, well, it's going to get there. And I've learned to let all the anger go.
You
I just let
to.
It go. I'm going to, and I keep my cathartic action speaking about it and helping other people.
Right. And yeah. What's interesting is, and doubling back onto suicide, is that's one of the ways that my mother and I healed our relationship after my father's suicide was doing work about it together.
Yeah.
And my mother was not one to ever not discuss something. So being working in mental health and getting people to talk is kind of second nature.
Did she make jokes about it?
About what?
Suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't see her being totally straight on that.
She was never straight on anything.
Yeah.
I feel like listening to you between the break and now, I feel like I should just leave. You guys should just do the radio
off,
show
Alan.
By yourself.
We got it.
So what else you want to know?
I want to talk.
When do I get to ask my legal questions? I came here because I thought I was going to get free legal advice.
Free legal advice,
Once we find out where Cooper's going to school, then you can ask.
Okay.
So afterward, after the horrendous...
Negligence.
And we can say that. This
we
is
can
illegal.
Say negligence.
I have a lot of experience in defending libel.
We don't have to say alleged
libel. No. Although I don't know what your...
it was negligence.
Your settlement agreement says if there's any confidentiality.
Please,
but you can feel free to say,
really?
Whatever you want.
Really?
Say how much money they had to pay you.
No, I won't do that. I'm not stupid.
So
I don't need two New York tough attorneys calling me right now going, what are you doing?
Well, your attorneys were better, by the way.
My attorneys were, attorneys were phenomenal.
Absolutely better.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been hard to find better.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. So let's talk about what happened afterwards. You wrote two books, Joan Rivers Confidential, The Unseen Scrapbooks, Joke Cards, Personnel Files of a Very Funny Woman Who Kept Everything.
Yes.
The last book in 2017. And then the first book, The Book of Joan, Tales of Mirth, Mischief, and Manipulation. And I just wanted to read for you. This review struck me as pretty interesting on The Book of Joan. I read this in one sitting. It made me laugh, cry, and reflect on my close relationship with my mother, who passed away a year ago. Great job by Melissa. I so enjoyed her mother for so many years, from her comedy to QVC books and, of course, the red carpet. I am thankful to Melissa and David D. to keep her style and creations going on QVC. Bless you, Melissa and Cooper. Miss you, Joan. Your daughter has done good.
Oh, that's very sweet. I think, you know, and I found this out a lot when I would do book signings and stuff. I wrote a book that I just want people to enjoy. Just sit and laugh. Mm-hmm. And it really definitely struck a chord with her fans. It struck a chord with mothers and daughters. It just struck a chord. And I read it in one sitting. Yes, it was not. I'm not Tolstoy.
you did go to Penn, though.
But again, I'm not Tolstoy.
Yeah.
the funniest is, this is the worst. So I'm at reunion and I'm in the bookstore buying a t-shirt. And it says alumni authors. And I go and I look, neither of my books are in there.
Oh, no. Did you tell them to get them?
No, but I'm just like, figures.
My pen sucks.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just like,
you should send them some books to put on the shelf.
No, they can call my publisher.
Well, either way,
but
they should
Why
be there.
Why didn't you do a book signing?
Right?
But I just think it's hilarious. That's like, I felt like Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah. No.
I just felt like, really? Yeah. Even my can't even be in the Penn bookstore.
And the irony is they were probably more best-selling than any other Penn author in the bookstore.
Not 100% sure of that, but let's not forget we also produced John Legend. So it's a pretty hoity-toity group.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I was just like, really? Really? Have I shamed you all that badly?
You know, you talk about your last book, The Confidential, going through your mom's stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you could do a whole stand-up routine. I've heard you talk about it. What kind of experience that was looking through her storage?
We used to call her a maximalist, which is rich people hoarding.
Oh, really?
It's not a minimalist.
Was she a little hoarder?
A collector.
A collector. Like I said, maximalist.
Maximalist.
Rich people hoarding for rich people.
Sabrina's making me laugh.
Yeah. Hoarding for rich people. So, you know, she never met a tag sale she didn't like.
Did you find a whole bunch of stuff that's
you have
like
no idea.
New and
yeah,
never
she,
been used?
But my mother loved china and linens and table toppers and all that kind of stuff. She loved never.
What about Korea?
What is wrong with you?
I knew as I said that I walked right into something stupid, but nonetheless. But so she loved, and she loved having setting a table with different things.
Yeah.
And so I literally, I mean, she had sets of dinnerware everywhere. I mean, I literally boxes of plates.
Did you keep any? Were any of them nice?
Well,
really
that,
nice that you want to keep?
Them
yeah.
Nice.
Well, my mom gave me some really nice china, but she has like all the china. My mom's into china, right? Really nice china.
So is mine.
Yeah. So we have me and my sister. I don't think my brother took any. We all have very, very nice china sets. Yeah.
But
yeah.
How many?
My mom probably has two or three, and my sister's two. And I think I have one. One okay. set.
That's child's play. I
think you beat her on this.
Child's play. I sold some. I gave a lot away. I have a bunch.
Sabrina yeah. has some.
I mean, you know, I gave a bunch to some of her friends.
Yeah.
But literally, that woman. She loved it and she yeah. used it.
Yeah.
I'm an only child. My mother was one of two, and my father was an only child. So I have. My father's mother's good china. I have my dad's china from when he and my mom were first married. I have all my mother's. My mother was one of two. My aunt, my grandmother had two sets of good china. I mean, so it all kind of funneled down to me.
Right.
Wait a second. So we should be having a party at your place.
You idea have no idea how many plates I own. So it's all crazy.
You know, you're smiling about it, and it's really nice listening to it. But it must have been tough.
Oh,
going
very,
through everything emotionally.
But it's hard for everybody. You know, people are like, oh, wasn't it hard? I'm like, I'm no different than anybody. Yeah. It's hard for anybody to go through their parents' stuff when they've passed. There's that new thing, what they call it, Swedish...
massage?
No. Sorry, that's I'm not Robert Kraft. who I actually adore, by the way.
You did adore him.
It's where you're supposed to, every year, you give things away.
Yeah, you thank them?
Right. And no, you don't thank your things. That's Marie Kondo, right?
Yeah, that's Marie
Kondo.
No,
this
Kondo.
Is a
yeah,
thing
yeah.
where you do, and I forget what it's called. It's like Swiss something or Swedish, like where you, every year you clean out all your stuff and you give the things to people that you would want them to have so they can enjoy whatever you're going to bequeath to them while you're living.
Wow. Yeah.
So that they, when you die, they don't have to go through all these things and make all these decisions.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it has a name and I can't remember what it is now, but it's like a trend.
Interesting.
That's
all right.
Go ahead. That's what my dad gave me stuff when he was still living. My grandma, same thing.
Well, I'm not like, giving Cooper's potential first wife anything.
Speaking of Cooper, we still don't know what school he's going to, but we have to take a break.
Yes, we do.
So we may be able to find out after the break. Stay tuned. We got one more segment. This is fun, having some fun, and also some serious rapping with Melissa Rivers. I'm Alan Gurvey. She's Carrie Kasem. You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gurvey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gurvey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gurvey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Clear thinking. Free discussion. AM 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gurvey's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gurvey.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
What is this? Is this Kesha?
This is Melissa Rivers' favorite song.
I was going to be like, what does this have to do with the law?
I have no idea.
Wait a minute. What? Look at him. His tongue is sticking out and he's dancing.
He's just having fun.
Shouldn't it be like, I shot the sheriff?
Sheriff, yeah.
Exactly. But
I fought the law.
There you go.
And the law won.
We are the champions. Something with some meaning.
you know, you speak about the law, you seem to have all kinds of inquiries about the law.
I do.
You
I
are sitting here. I'm not going to charge you.
Why, thank you.
Ask me any question you want.
So when I was in I took a class called Legal Studies.
Cool.
When I was at Penn, it was a great, great fun class, the whole thing. And if I remember correctly, if you got a parking ticket, this is back when people actually had to write checks, and you racked up a bunch of them, and then you wrote the check number in the memo and put whatever kind of amount you wanted. And if they cashed it, that meant they could not come after you for anything else on those tickets.
I heard that years ago.
Yeah, years ago.
Years ago.
So what I used to do is I would write a contract on the check in full satisfaction of any debt that may be owed. And by cashing that check, I'd say, hey, we just got offer and acceptance.
Right.
The offer was here, the acceptance now.
So that's real.
So kind of the same thing.
Kind of the same thing. The argument might be that whoever cashes it just does it as partial payment because they want to get some cash out of you, and then they're going to go after you for
right.
the rest.
Well, you know, I'm sure the city of Philadelphia is still hunting down a bunch of college students who learned that in Legal Studies 1.
I'm just surprised that you went back there for your reunion because you could have been in jail.
I could have been arrested.
Yeah. So, but I think it's important that you consider that because people are afraid to actually do things like writing on a check or like writing a little contract when they send something.
But do people even write checks for parking tickets and stuff like
that
anymore?
Not so much. My sister, when she went to school in Boston, what is it, Northeastern or Western there? I can't remember.
Eastern. Western would be in Chicago.
So she went there, and it was cheaper to park and get the tickets every day than to go blocks away from her house and pay for it.
Right.
So her and her roommates would just leave the cars there.
This is a great topic for a podcast.
Yes, it is.
Why don't you get into
podcasts?
Well,
that's funny that you asked me that because I am launching a podcast.
Really?
What are you calling it?
Bitchland.
Is it like Melissa Rivers Bitchland or just Bitchland?
Just Bitchland.
Oh my God.
Wait, can you say that again? I think we can do a promo for it.
I think that's great.
Melissa Rivers on her new podcast. It is called
Bitchland.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Okay, so what are you going to talk about?
Everything that annoys me and other people. I mean, it's like interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's
gonna be
a damn long show. Well, exactly. Like, what annoys you? Like, what right now in the news annoys you?
The news.
So
how
much.
About that?
So much. Exactly.
We only have 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll ask you a better question. Who, which I like to think of as 14 minutes and counting, who needs to go away? Who's 15 minutes tick-tock, do we need to hit the buzzer?
That is so E. It's so good.
Isn't it?
Thank you. You should have this show on
I
that.
Should be on E.
You should be.
I?
Yeah, maybe you should do that. Right.
But have you done anything with E?
Not recently. No, only 20 odd years worth of service.
Forever.
As I like to think of it.
And I loved it.
And I didn't even get a watch.
Now what? Yeah. You should go back on there. You should pitch.
Well, I don't pitch.
You should bitch.
I should bitch.
You're done with them?
No, I'm not going to. You know, if
where
they want me, they know how to reach me.
Where can we?
If they want me, they know where to reach me.
Turnover.
We're just starting, and I have a couple offers at different places. For all I know, I might just put it up on my website. I really haven't decided yet. But you haven't answered the question. Who needs to go away?
Who needs to go away? Bro. Oh my God.
Okay, so who do you need to have go away?
I swear after this, we're gonna fight.
Who do you need to have go away? I want to know where I can hear bitching. Where is this podcast going to be?
He's not going to answer.
Can I be on the show? Can I be
absolutely?
On
but you're not going to answer my question.
Me?
I swear to God.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, who do you want to see? I have this thing. Like, if I see Rick Santorum,
I want Jimmy Butler to go away.
Who?
Jimmy Butler plays for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he demanded a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I think that's really unfair.
There you go.
I have somebody.
Who?
Something.
Who?
Santa Anita. I'm done. Done. They're killing horse after horse after horse after horse after horse after horse.
But that's
a track issue.
It's a footing issue.
And they're doing it on purpose. I'm telling you.
I don't think they're doing it on purpose.
Wait
a second, guys.
30 horses die.
But they're not doing it on purpose.
No, they are at this point. After
how many
horses need to die before it's not on purpose?
Your face turned red when I mentioned you were into a quest.
That's right.
We got there. We got to the horses.
Okay, I have another question for you.
I'm ready. 2 minutes.
I know we have two. Okay. Another question another thing we would discuss is what I call the wheel of annoyance.
Oh, so many people.
What is annoying you the most today? It can be person, place,
all
thing.
My clients.
Alan Gervey.
Traffic.
Traffic. Yeah, what's up on Memorial Day? Why is there so much traffic?
Weekend. But then that's sort of what Bitchland is about. It's all about things that annoy us.
You know, it'll be
that's
amazing.
Actually a really good one.
I will listen to it because
you can come be a guest.
I will be a guest, and I will bitch like you never seen.
And we can have free legal, but you still have to ask me where my son's going to college.
Where's your son going to college?
I promised. Okay, here we go. Wait, can we get a drum roll? Wayman, why are you? He's listening, enjoying the show. Let's get the drum roll. Okay. Everyone's been listening all show. Cooper is going to college as he looks for the drum roll with 30 seconds left. After you schlepped him all over the place.
Do you really think for security issues I would tell you where my baby's going?
Yes.
You walked right into that. No, he's going to go play lacrosse at Ohio Wesleyan University.
Woo!
Yay!
Amazing.
And where's he? Is it Columbus? Columbus.
That's cool.
It's also where Ohio State is.
He's going to love it.
Columbus is gorgeous.
It's a great school.
It's gorgeous. Yep.
Both athletically and academically.
Yes. He's going to be a battling bishop.
And you went with him to visit and everything worked out and he had a lot of options and that was a great choice.
Yeah, and I was at Penn, so we were the Quakers. He was and now he's a battling bishop, so it's hard to tell who has the worst mascot.
Well, we should have him come on next year after he's done a year there and see how it's all going and whether he's going to be excited or he's going to be transferring to Penn.
He might be. I guess he's going to transfer even further. He's going to transfer somewhere in Europe.
Melissa Rivers, it's been a delight. Thanks for being with us here on Gervie's Law. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie & Wynn.